Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Breaking Point Podcast UK. Today, we're here with Limmy. Can I call you Limmy? Is that all right?
Yeah, that's it, brother.
Okay, cool. And Limmy, I sent Limmy a random DM on Instagram, and we went back and forth, and then we stopped talking, and I thought, oh, well, that's over. And then I sent him another message, and then he rang me out of the blue, and then he was like, right, let's do this as soon as possible. And here we are. It's been as soon as possible, and we had a good little chat. And yeah, I'm looking forward to our chat, Limmy. It's going to be cool. Limmy, tell the people, give yourself a bit of a background and why you're on this podcast and why you're interested in talking to me.
Yeah. I'm from Tampa, Florida. I was born in Germany. My dad was a professional basketball player. He played for Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah, wow. Having my brothers in Germany. And when he was done, my parents raised me in Tampa, Florida. And I was raised in sunny Tampa, Florida. I graduated from college at USF with a sociology degree. I studied like 8 different majors, and I was in school for about 5.5 years. And I was just like, okay, well, how can I graduate the fastest? And sociology was just the easiest. All my teachers were hippies and were stoners, and it was easy to do. And then I started selling solar right after college, and that got me into sales, and I've been in sales now for 11 years. And I've had my troubles definitely with depression and anxiety, and I'm a big advocate for mental health. And through my struggles, I've developed a lot of skills that to help me cope and to help me get over the hurdles. So when you reached out, it was like, it was an immediate yes. Like, yeah, let's mental health. Let's talk about it. Because there's unlimited things that we can talk about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I appreciate you, because your response has been the most emphatic yes I've had. So that means a lot. I'm glad. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad that you want to talk. So where do you think your difficulties arose from, and what age did they start? Why do you think they start?
Yeah, I think it is for most people, childhood. My childhood was very difficult in my eyes, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I had to walk on eggshells my whole childhood. I had to be basically a therapist to my parent. And I think there's true power in your pain. And I received a lot of gifts from God or whatever you believe in. I received these gifts through my pain. And, you know, you probably didn't even know before you shut, but maybe I have 100,000 followers on Instagram, and this is all brand new. It's only been like 2.5 months. And, you know, some of my friends are like, how did you do that so fast? And I truly believe it's through my trauma. Like when people, you know, someone asked me like, how often do you get these type of interactions in your car? Like these type of banters, I can help people, make people feel comfortable. I can have a conversation with anybody. And I think through my traumas, it bursts my skill sets. And I believe that we all have those, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Just go. You said that you walked around eggshells. I'd like to talk about that a little bit more, but I think a lot of people that have the misfortune of feeling like that as a child, they grow up to be people who are incredibly socially intelligent and emotionally intelligent, because they know how to not make people feel uncomfortable and make them feel at ease, and they can adapt to situations really well, and that's such a great skill. So you're sort of you know, you'd probably be a great podcast host as well, to be fair. In fact, you would be a great podcast host because you're also extroverted and funny. And being a podcast host, I think, is like being able to go flip-flop between those two different intense, quiet moments to the funny ones. But let's go into a bit more detail about your childhood and what was that like? You were living in Germany? No, you were living in Florida. You were born in Germany, but you were living in Florida. You grew up.
Yeah. My parents came back to Tampa, Florida, and then my parents got a divorce. My father had some substance abuse issues, and my mother felt like she was by herself, so she decided to divorce my dad. And yeah, it was a rough childhood, not financially. We had everything that we could possibly need and more, but mentally it was hell for me. And my mother would tell you differently, but you know, this is me, and this is my story. It was hell. And you know, yeah, and just through that, like, I, you know, my mother used to call me a hypochondriac. So anytime that I was sick, I, you know, it was like a mind fuck. She used to gaslight me. So my reality wasn't my reality. And that was just a way for her not to deal with it, because she was so stressed from working 50, 60 hours a week, taking care of three kids financially. She had so much pain, and she didn't evolve in other areas of her life to see how she was treating, you know, her child, her children.
So was your dad on the picture at this point, or did you not see your dad?
I saw my dad 2, 3, 4 times a week. My mom loved to paint the picture that he was never there, but he was always there. Yeah, he was always there.
Was he
my dad's best friend?
Yeah. I like that. That's really good. I feel like men in general and dads get such a bad rap nowadays, and there's always them that are supposed to be the villains, and the mum's always these damsel in distresses who are completely innocent, but that isn't always the case at all. And a lot of the time it can be the mums who are the far more toxic ones, and that's really, I think that's quite hard to, people don't really understand that, because masculine like aggression is it's more sort of tangible than feminine you know, emotional abuse and things like that. It's the difference between getting mugged and having someone fraud you out of a certain amount of money. It's like they both are just as damaging in some ways, but one is a physical in the moment, and then the other is like more drawn out and more, I don't know.
Exactly.
Get what I mean? It's
complicated. 100%. Yeah. 100%. I agree 100%. Yeah. I had something to say, but it left me. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a difficult childhood.
Back then,
it was very difficult.
Yeah.
Exercise played a big part in me being able to release the demons. Then, yeah, I think definitely basketball and exercise was just huge. And I told you before the podcast, I have Crohn's disease. I truly believe that every symptom or physical ailment in your body is a spiritual, is emotional problem, to, you know, that causes that. And I know that for a fact in my eyes. And I used to have intense stomach pains when I was younger as well. But now it's to another level. And that's my trials and tribulations. That's where I need to go. You know, that's my path. And you know, I'm happy to talk to you about this type of stuff, is because I want to help people. I think we're all here to help each other on this path. And
completely. So talk about spirituality and things that call to you like at sort of, I don't know, ideas and fields of medicine, etc., that call to you, and where did they come from and how did you discover them?
Yeah.
What speaks to your heart?
Yeah. For me, it's through my pain. So when I was going through depression in my early 20s, you know, what pulled me out, what got me to, you know, feeling normal again. And those were, I call them plugging into the lamp and, you know, like plugging into the universe and like, where do we get our energy? I think we get them through these spiritual practices, not plugging into the lamp, like plugging in. And how we plug in is through these spiritual practices. And, you know, for me, it was movement, it was journaling, it was breath work, it was meditation, yoga. I got yoga certified. I've been practicing yoga for 10 years. These modalities, I consider, you know, we're all spiritual, like whatever that means, but I feel like these ways to release this energy and get connected to ourselves is how I learned to be normal. Everything felt so intense. Everything felt so intense ever since my childhood. And the only things that released it were these practices. So yeah, that's a great question. What about you?
Yeah. Transcendental meditation. So I do that. I mean, I haven't done it as much recently, but you know, for a good while I was, you know, pretty consistent on that. I need to get back into it. What else? I think one of the things that I've worked out about myself is that listening and talking to other people really helps me, because I feel like I'm the sort of person that can get lost in myself a bit and maybe exist in my own echo chamber too much. And I feel like anyone can do that. And if you have a mind that can drift down negative pathways, that's a really bad thing to happen, because you just get negativity bouncing around more and more and more and more. And what I think is so important about watching, talking, listening, and almost watching as well other people is that you can shift your perspective continuously. And I feel like we all need to do that, because we're kind of like a Rubik's cube that we have to keep moving to try and complete. And I think talking to other people helps me keep that Rubik's cube moving. Uh-huh. And it helps me, it regulates me.
No, it is. No,
I know,
no,
that's
no,
not really spiritual practice.
No, it is.
It's more of a psychological practice.
I truly, in my opinion, I truly believe it.
Oh, it is. Okay. Nice.
We're all here together. I look at it like a body, like, all the cells in a body are working together to create to create Ollie. And that's the same thing as us. When we work together towards the highest and greatest good, then, you know, it's magic. It's oneness, it's divinity, it's God. And we're all here together. You are me and I am you. We're no different. You're not more special than me, than I'm more special than you. Yeah, it makes sense that connecting with others is what makes you feel good. And the same thing with me, bro. It's amazing. And that's part of my why I wanted to get on here and talk about this. I'm building an online community called Collective Effervescence, and it's going to be so great for guys and girls to come together.
Nice.
To learn, to talk about business, talk about mental health, talk about spirituality. And I'm going to have thought leaders and people come in, and they'll do presentations once a week. And I think it will really help, because so many people get so scared and so depressed or so alone because they don't have anyone. But if you have something, if you have someone to all right, pick you up, to reframe, like you said, you just got to reframe that thought process. When you have people you can count on, Ollie, anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It changes everything. I was just watching a podcast today, pretty morbid topic. I don't know if it's close to home, so I'll step carefully. But about a guy who was going to shoot up his high school, and because he'd had a really, really awful childhood, and he was like, I'm going to do it. And then there were just a couple of things that just fell into place. Like, he had this one friend who was, he went on a path of, what's the word, destruction, sort of psychological destruction, which is a place a lot of people can get to when they become incredibly disheartened with the world. They think, I hate the world. I'm now going to make everyone else feel the pain that I feel. That, from a religious point of view, that's kind of like a possession of the devil, I think. And he was at that point, and then it got to the climax of, right, I'm gonna shoot up this my high school and make my parents pay for not taking any accountability for me. And he had this one friend who was always supporting him, and he was invited over to a friend's house. He said, I'll go, and then afterwards I'm going to kill myself. I think he'd moved beyond the school shooting point at that point. He thought that wasn't the right way to go. But this friend threw him a surprise birthday party. And he said just that one act of a surprise birthday party just changed everything. And he went, right, I'm not going to kill myself now. The world isn't as bad as I think. There is someone out there that cares about me.
You know what that makes me think? And you know, that's such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing. That makes me think of Dory from Finding Nemo, right? Just keep swimming. And it also makes me think of know where you're celebrated, not tolerated. You know, like, keep going until you find that the people, the community that you feel connected to. That's such a cool story. Thank you so much, bro.
What was teenagehood like for you? What was being a teenager like?
Started really rebelling at 16, 17. So it was pretty combative. It was a lot of yelling, and it was pretty tough in the household. And then I went to college, or uni as you guys call it, and I left home, and I went off the deep end. I felt free. I felt like I can do whatever I want, and I just started drinking and doing a whole bunch of ecstasy and Molly and doing a whole bunch of drugs. And that definitely led into depression. It definitely, you know, it kind of exasperated it. It rushed it. But yeah, beforehand, you know, my early years before 15, 16, I felt that everything was good. Everything was kosher, but I don't think I was really self-aware of what was really going on and how I was being treated in the household. And, you know, do you know what respect means?
Treating someone like they have some kind of
it means
worth.
To accept someone for who they are.
That's kind of respect.
That is what it means to respect something or someone. And I was not respected at all. I was used. I was a tool. It was tough. It was very tough. And I'm talking to you, you know, about my mother, and it's kind of difficult because, you know, like, we still have like a relationship, and I can't tell her how I feel. I can't, I'm telling you these things, but I can't tell her these things. So it's like, you know, like, oh, because it goes back into defensive, you know, oh, you're, you know, it's psychological warfare. She doesn't have any self-reflection. Mm-hmm. So when I tell her these things, I'm the bad person. And then, you know, our relationship is gone. So like, I'd rather have some sort of a relationship with my mother than not have a relationship at all. And it, you know, that's what I battled with. It's like, do I really say what I want or how I feel? Or do I just kind of tiptoe? And that's why I kind of limit conversations, because it's like, you know, and that's what's tough for your viewers. If you have difficult parents, you know, depending on what age you are, like, I think every case is case by case. But I love to talk about this. So any of your viewers ever see this and want to reach out and have a conversation, and how going about it, because I tried many different ways of how to go about these type of situations, especially with someone who's very difficult.
How are things for you now?
You know, I have my days. I realize that I'm not going to be able to. It's my stomach pain. I don't really have, quote unquote depression or anxiety. I have intense stomach pain. I'm progressing through that, and I'm learning different techniques. I'm starting to learn somatic release healing. I'm also starting to I bring it up, and I'm not complaining about it anymore. I'm still pushing towards my goals and still doing things when I'm in pain. I used to just literally wallow and sleep in my bed all day because I'm in pain. I'm just like, is this ever going to go away? So I'm learning to get stronger and stronger every day. And it's, this is cool too. I became Instagram famous. So now I have a platform to talk about these things with you about things that I truly care about. So I'm on the up and up, but we can always do better and get better and be better,
Yeah, no, but having that Instagram platform is such a, it's a superpower that, you can do so much good with. So that's great. Have you tried meditation for your Crohn's? Because is that something, I don't know, but in terms of because there's an app, I think it's called Nerva IBS.
Yeah,
and I tried it. They say that a lot of, you try it, yeah. Of course, I'm sure you've tried everything. I'm just thinking if I did.
I'm a new doctor, so I'm going to start taking some peptides and some other things, and I'm going to be trying some other things. So I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful. I'm excited because I found my why. I truly believe that we all have gifts and we all have things that we're here to do, and you're doing your why right now, and so am I. And I think when the why is big enough, the how doesn't matter. So it's it gives me energy. It gives me a way to fuck this pain. I'm gonna go do my why. I got people to connect with. I got people to help. That's what pushes me forward,
How do you want to help people?
Yeah, I think helping people, feel good in their body and connected with other people. I think building that online community is part of my why right now. It's helping people find friends, helping people find people to grow with. I think right now, I think it's forever changing, but I think right now, I know right now, this is my why right now in this very moment.
Are you interested in things that are going on in terms of men's mental health and how men are thinking, feeling and thinking and things that are going on? And I don't know, do you speak to people that are affected by things? Can you relate?
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing that up because, men have the highest suicide rates in the world. It's 80, 90, whatever the percentage, it's ridiculous.
No. It's
ridiculous.
Something like that, yeah.
I have a few, theories on why. I think women, they tend to share their feelings with their other, female friends. And men bottle their emotions. And they're just in their head. You're just in your head all day. I always wonder, I used to go to all these women's circles. They have them in America. I don't know. Do they have women's spiritual full moon and new moon ceremonies in the UK? There's always no female gathering here in America. There's female gatherings everywhere. And it's what the heck? They exclude men. I used to go to women's. It wasn't even a women's circle. It was anyone could go, but I'd be the only male there. And I was just wondering. So I don't want to exclude women. So I was thinking about this on my online community that I'm building. And I don't want to exclude anyone, but I guess, maybe I really should focus on men because men are struggling the most.
Sure.
For sure. What do you, what are your thoughts on it?
One of the things that is incredibly, incredibly interesting about like modern psychology and modern knowledge of anxiety is everyone knows about the fight or flight. You know, the fight or flight response. You know that? Yeah, everyone knows the fight or flight. There's another stress response called tend and befriend. And that is stereotypically a more female stress response. So men tend to fight or flight. So it's more literal, it's more visceral, reactive. And then women tend to befriend. So tend means to tend to children, and befriend means to befriend other women. And I think that makes complete sense, to be fair. I mean, it's, you know, it's interchangeable, but fight or flight is more of a masculine thing, and tend to befriend is more of a feminine thing. Hence why I used the crude example in the podcast, why women comment on each other's posts, social media posts, beautiful, gorgeous, because the way that they elevate themselves up the female hierarchy is through creating strong connections with other women, kind of the same with men. And also that's how they stave off negative emotion as well, feeling like they're part of a community. Whereas men, I do think the masculine life is a far more solitary lifestyle. It's slightly more competitive against other men. You have to be more...
Back in the day, you know, whatever, cavemen, we'll just say cavemen and on, I think it was more cut and dry.
Yeah. Yep.
To be a man, what do you have to do? You have to be strong, and you have to hunt, and you have to defend. And that's like, okay, I know what I have to do. I'm gonna go sharpen my knife. I'm gonna go do some pushups. I'm gonna run fast. Yeah. I'm gonna fight people, and you could do that, and that was you were a man for that. But nowadays, being a man is not that. It's you have to make money, and if it's hard to make money, then you feel emasculated. You can't take care of anyone. Mm-hmm. And making money isn't so cut and dry.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not cut and dry to make money on it. It's really fucking not. I think that goes into part, but yeah, it's for sure. I always wondered that, like, why are people going for why are these girls going for these bad guys? It makes no sense. But I think a lot of things in this life are kind of flip-flopped. I think we're messed up in a lot of different ways, to be honest.
We're contradictory. We're walking contradictions. Ridiculously. The maddest one is, this is ridiculous. There's a thing on Netflix called 365 Days. But as you know, it's kind of like Beauty and the Beast equivalent. And basically the plot is this guy kidnaps this woman and makes her fall in love with him. And it's like ridiculously popular. And you just look at that and think, what the fuck? How is that even allowed to be on Netflix? How is that allowed to be on Netflix? And B, how is that one of the most popular, most streamed things by women of the last couple of years? They made a second one, for God's sake.
Oh my God.
It's so interesting, that whole topic. And it's obviously a very, very, very topic to be careful about, and quite rightly. And I'm not someone who's qualified to talk about it in a certain way, but it is just, they're just interesting phenomena left, right, and center when you walk down that path, that line of thinking.
I think interesting isn't the right word. That's just being politically correct, to be honest. I think that's great, though, that we're talking about it, because we need to shed light on these things. You know, I think we could go on.
I think you do.
Yeah, we could talk about a million things of like, why are people watching reality television? Why do people love Donald Trump? You know what I mean? Like I'm not saying his policies. Yeah. I'm not saying his policies, but like, there's certain things of like, why are these people loved that hate on people? And like, why so many like weird things? It's like, what the? Just
completely, yeah.
What is going on here?
No problem is solved by leaving it in the dark.
Yeah, so we got to shine the light, brother. We got to shine the light. That's
You got to talk about it.
Yeah, and feel it and move
you
it around.
You have to give people. This is why. Exactly. Yeah. This is why free speech doesn't mean. Oh, it's complicated, but people have to be able to say what they think, so that they can then change what they think, and then they can become better people.
But it goes back to
I think that's so
100%. But it goes back to our childhood, because you know, like you say, we should say how we feel and what we think, but we were ridiculed for when we did say how we feel and think. So it's hard.
That's another.
It's very difficult for people to actually take up space and say this is what I believe. And I do want to say one thing. If, you know, I do love my mother, and I know this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I wanted to say this. I do love my mother. I'm very grateful for, you know, how, you know, the things that she gave me and she raised me. She's my mom. But I also have a lot of anger and hatred. And it's just the truth. And, you know, my mom's just not ready for the truth. And, I think part of growth is there's a grieving stage. You grieve, you know, whatever happened to you, you know, whatever happened to you, like, you know, the greatest people in life, you know, the Tony Robbins, the whoever we want to say, the most people with the most power usually went through the most pain growing up. And if you can transmute that power and go through it and alchemize it. And I think part of that is grieving. You have a grieving period, you know, you talk about it, you feel it. And then after that, you're grateful. The next step is being grateful for what happened, because that's your kryptonite. You got these special powers, and you're grateful for that situation. You can either be a victim, or, you know, you can use that to your, you know, you could use that and become who you've always, you know, always were supposed to come. You can alchemize the situation. And I'm in that next step of process. I'm learning to forgive. I'm learning to forgive and be grateful. And, you know, I read a book, one of my favorite books, you know, by a controversial person. His name's Osho, and he teaches about a meditation, and it's so powerful for me. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. And he says, like, whenever you look at anyone, whenever you're talking to anyone, literally pretend that you are them. Literally. So, like, I'm talking to you, Ollie, right now, but I'm really talking to myself. So how would I treat myself? Mm. How would I think of myself? And yeah, it's like, you know, whatever, you're going to say stuff, you know, people are going to say stuff to you that you disagree with, or that they're going to do stuff to you that you don't like, but we're all one and we're all connected. And I feel like if we can have that ideology of, like, you know, you are me and I am you, like, the world would just be a better place.